Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross says President Trump would be, quote, perfectly happy to raise tariffs on more Chinese goods if the U.S. and China can't strike a deal. Meanwhile, the Chinese government is stepping up its support for the leader of Hong Kong. The head of Hong Kong is pro-Beijing. She is dealing with massive protests in Hong Kong and a deepening political crisis. These events are making for a tough time for China's president, Xi Jinping. He's also dealing with a slowing economy and other threats to China's regional dominance. Our next guest is someone whose job it is to communicate the Chinese perspective on issues like these to an English-language audience around the world. Liu Xin is an anchor on the China Global Television Networks, the international arm of the state-owned China Central Television. Many Americans were introduced to Liu last month when Fox Business host Trish Regan had her on for a primetime debate about the ongoing trade war. Liu Xin spoke with Here and Now's Peter O'Dowd last week. He asked her if she was surprised by how much attention the Fox Business debate received.
Well, you know, it was the very first time that a news presenter, a journalist from the national broadcaster, appear on such a high-profile occasion on a major U.S. Media TV organization. So it got really a lot of attention. And looking back, people here, especially in China, they were just dissecting every syllable that I was uttering, you know, so it was really much more attention than I would have thought. Yeah, but I think I did okay. I think people were reasonably satisfied, so that was fine.
Well, the big topic, of course, was the trade war between the United States and China. So let's talk a little bit about that ourselves. Where do you think this is going? The latest news out of the United States is that President Trump says that if he doesn't meet with Xi Jinping, the Chinese president, at the G20 summit in Japan later this month, that he's just going to ratchet up the tariffs even more than he already has. What are the chances that this resolves itself?
Well, just from the way the invitation or the challenge is issued in public with such, you know, with some kind of a negative consequence attached, it really doesn't bode very well. But I think at this moment, we really do need to cool down both sides, especially the United States, you know, not to give this kind of public threats. I think China is trying its best to keep cool, but it's also getting ready for a protracted period of trouble. And I think over the past few months, the Chinese people have already started to get used to the idea that, you know, if the United States really wants to have a trade war with us, then we have to stand our ground. So then I think we're more or less prepared.
Well, and what would that mean? A protracted trade war with the United States. How much would it hurt China's economy?
Well, I think China has its estimates, and we just talked about it the other day in our show, and one of the experts talked about maybe about half a percentage point of our GDP could possibly be shaved off during this year, for this year's target, and China's GDP is about $13 trillion, according to international estimates. So they have some kind of an idea, but you know, at the end of the day, I think the Chinese people and the Chinese leadership have the confidence that time is on our side.
But do you agree with at least the consensus by economists here in the United States that say China has more to lose than the United States and that China has less leverage in these negotiations simply because the size of the U.S. economy is so much bigger and China needs U.S. goods more than the other way around?
Well, if you talk about the size of the Chinese market, I guess the U.S. probably needs China much more. We're talking about a country of 1.4 billion people. That's three times the size of the U.S. population. And let's not forget, it is there is a big middle class that is hugely hungry for quality goods, quality services from everywhere around the world. And here, our understanding is that the United States probably stand to lose more. At the end of the day, if the trade war drags on, this is going to be hurting for both economies. Whether China hurts more or the United States hurts more, there will be other economies getting hurt as well. The world's economic growth will be hurt as well. So is that what we are going to see? I hope not.
I want to talk to you about your own professional life. You are, as we've said, a high-profile TV anchor for CGTN. You've got this very interesting job of communicating the Chinese perspective to English-language viewers and now, in this case, listeners around the world in the United States. But as you well know, your network has been described as a mouthpiece of the Communist Party. I'm just curious how you handle that and how much influence does the party have on your reporting?
You know, This is not the first time that I hear this, and there are all kinds of ways to put a label on what we do and then try to discredit what we do. I have been working with the national broadcaster since I graduated from university back in 1997, and I've always found this job fascinating and challenging and gratifying because I always try to measure my work from a simple professional perspective, whether I'm following the facts, whether I'm giving the full picture, whether I'm being fair, whether I'm being accurate, whether I'm being interesting, engaging, even entertaining, because we're doing TV. I really don't care what people call me. I just try to do a better job every day.
Sure. And I'm sure you know that people listening to this will immediately be skeptical of what you're saying for these reasons. The Justice Department here in the U.S. required the network to register as a foreign agent, which essentially labels the network as a lobbying firm to try to influence public opinion. Is that right? Is CGTN a foreign agent?
Well, if you ask me, I definitely don't think so. As I said, I see myself as a journalist, just as any other journalists around the world. And I think it is in the interests of the viewers to have this perspective, which has been missing in the big picture. You know, you have been getting information from American TV or from international TV about China, most of the time talked about from a foreign journalist perspective, or I don't know. But, you know, to get an information, authentic information coming out of China, I think there's a certain value to it. And I don't understand why people would just, you know, discredit and try to put a label on it. And I think it's in their own loss.
Well, on one story that I know is of great interest around the world is what's happening with the Uyghurs, the minority Muslims in northwest China. The U.S. and other countries have condemned the detention of up to a million of them in that region. How have you reported on that situation?
Well, we talked about it. We've had discussions actually quite a few times with guests both from China and from Turkey. And we had studio discussions on this subject. And we talked about what are the reasons why the Chinese government decided to take these measures and what have been the effect of these measures. By the way, that number you just cited, I think it is not very accurate. I never saw in any official reports any number so significant being cited. Anyway, I think it is a big challenge for China to tackle domestic terrorism, just as it is in the United States. And there is no textbook to follow. There is no playbook to follow here. So what is being done is to through education, through vocational education, through teaching people the laws and the languages of their country to help them, you know, support themselves and de-radicalize.
Well, that is what the Chinese government is saying. They're countering these reports from Western news organizations and from human rights groups in the United Nations that says the government is saying the camps are vocational training, just like you do it, that they're trying to prevent extremism. But there are also, but there's also examples of mosques being torn down and, you know, facial recognition being used to detain people. So do you see no religious repression against Muslim minorities in Western China?
Well, from what I understood, from what I read, and again, I've never been to the Uyghur Autonomous Region, so I cannot tell you that I've seen this, but I've seen numbers pointing to the kind of religious facilities that are made available to the people there. For instance, I understand in the Xinjiang Autonomous Region, there are one mosque for every 500 worshippers. That is even more than some Muslim majority countries such as Turkey. So I do not know where the kind of you know, evidence comes from saying that people are forbidden to follow their normal religious activities. I do not know. And there are foreign tourists going to Xinjiang, by the way. They can see for themselves.
I'm citing a report, an investigation by The Guardian that says two dozen Islamic religious sites have been partly or completely demolished by the government. So that's where that information came from. But the point is, I guess, what you're trying to say and what I'm trying to say is that there is a misunderstanding for sure between at least our two governments. Would you think that's fair to say?
I think there is a great gap in information. There is a great deficit in understanding between the two sides, between the two governments, and especially between the two peoples. That's why I say the trade deficit is huge, but it's not the source of the problem. The biggest problem we have today is that we, on the Chinese side, are much more curious, much more open-minded, much better informed about what's happening in your country than the other way around. I think on the Chinese side, there is a great curiosity about Western culture, about Western science and technology development as well. So there is the hunger, there is a sponge on our side. And then for the United States, you have to tell me, Peter, why people are not so curious. Maybe they're just generally not so interested about what's happening outside their immediate borders. I don't know. Maybe your life is too comfortable, or when everybody is speaking English, probably you don't find it necessary to speak anyone else's language. Yeah, maybe there are other factors. I don't know.
That's Lu Xin, anchor for the China Global Television Network. She hosts the opinion show The Point on weekdays at CGTN. Thank you so much for speaking with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you.